Let's go back to Matthew and chapter 1 and to Joseph's conundrum, to the vexed problem of a pregnant fiancée and he isn't the father. It says in verse 19 of Matthew 1 that because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. One of the privileges that I'm enjoying at the moment on a daily basis, or during the week anyway, is of sharing with my brothers in Christ who are also signed up to the Love God Greatly Bible study group, and we're studying our way through many passages relating to the coming of Jesus into the world at this time. It's great to just see the different perspectives that the men bring and how great is their insight and their ability to see to the heart of the passages. One of the men this week wrote about the passages on Friday, I think, where Joseph is finally told, this passage here, where he's finally told why Mary is pregnant. And he says this: sometimes the familiarity of the Christmas story can make us miss the obvious problems the participants had to face. Joseph must have had his doubts. His fiancée was pregnant, and he knew it was not his. But he was a kind and faithful man. He did not want to expose her to the law, so he was going to quietly send her away. This act of kindness was blessed by the Lord, and a full answer to his questions given. The woman he loved had not betrayed him. She was God's chosen mother for the Messiah, and he was the chosen father to protect and support the family and look after God's son. What a privilege. What a challenge. Joseph accepts it and does what the Lord has asked him to do. Indeed. Well, these are great words, and if you're a man, you'd like to sign up to the Love God Greatly group, I'll tell you how. If you're a woman and you'd like to sign up to the Love God Greatly group, speak to Fiona. The question that occurred to me on Friday and has often been asked is this really rather obvious question: why did God leave Joseph wondering about Mary's pregnancy for so long? Because this passage here is at least 4 months after the time when Gabriel went to Mary to tell her that she was going to conceive and bear a child. 4 months. And possibly for a good part of those 4 months, although we don't exactly know the details of the story, Mary is pregnant, and Joseph is, at least for some of that time, left in that very distressing situation of thinking this woman to whom he is betrothed, it's not like engagement in this country, it's almost really like marriage. That's why in verse 19 it's actually described as Joseph being her husband, although he's not formally married yet, and divorce is necessary to break a betrothal in the customs of those days. It was a very difficult situation for them. So let's just go through the timeline very quickly. Mary and Joseph, they're betrothed, they're engaged, more than engaged. And Gabriel goes to Mary and tells Mary that she's going to have a child. Mary, we assume, probably becomes pregnant very shortly after that. And after a time, she realizes that she's pregnant, and perhaps, we don't know, but perhaps at that point she tells Joseph. And Joseph, at this point, of course, has no evidence to back up what Mary says when she says, I think I may be pregnant. Maybe Mary tries to explain why she thinks she's pregnant, and about the angel, we don't know. But whatever, Joseph's left in a very troubled state of mind. Mary then goes to the hill country to visit her cousin Elizabeth, whom, as we read, Gabriel has told her is expecting a child in her 6 month. And Mary stays with Elizabeth for 3 months. Mary is encouraged, of course, by sharing with Elizabeth in the experience of having a miraculous birth expected, and of having an angelic visit and so on. And after a time, John the Baptist is born. Then shortly afterwards, we think, Mary returns to Nazareth. I mean, it's quite a long journey, a journey of several days from Nazareth to the hill country. But she gets back to Nazareth, and by now she's probably showing herself to be expecting. And Joseph, we don't know exactly what his emotions are. He's grieved, maybe he's angry, but he doesn't seem to believe the account that Mary's given. Who can blame him? And so he settles, as verse 19 says, with the decision that he will just divorce her quietly. He could, as a law-abiding man, bring her before the synagogue and have her arraigned publicly. Remember, the Old Testament law actually called for women who conceived out of marriage to be stoned. So he could have it wouldn't have happened that, but he certainly could have made life very unpleasant indeed for Mary. But he doesn't want to do that. He still loves her, and so he's just going to divorce her. While struggling then with this, and before he actually goes through with it, at that point he has this dream, this angel dream, in which Gabriel appears to him and tells him to fully marry Mary, which he does, as verse 24 says. When he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. It would have been seen in the little cloyingly intimate village of Nazareth as a shotgun wedding, and very shortly afterwards the child is born, or too shortly afterwards anyway, the child is born. The child doesn't look like his father, Joseph, because Joseph isn't the father. Well, Joseph goes on to have other family with Mary, but on his wedding night with Mary, or not the wedding night, but rather after Jesus is born, when he first of all goes into her himself, he has no chance to confirm that she was a virgin, because she's given birth to Jesus. So Joseph has a lot of suspense here, and he has to go through with a great deal of uncertainty. It's a difficult time for him, it's a painful situation, undoubtedly is for Mary as well, but Joseph has this extra degree of uncertainty in that he's asking, did she or didn't she? And you might say, well, why, Lord, didn't you tell Joseph at the same time that you told Mary? Because that would have meant Joseph could have avoided this difficulty. Well, let's think about that. There's a few things that we can say about that that hopefully will teach us about the nature of faith. The first thing is, it's a virgin birth. So the virgin birth, because of the virgin birth, it's always going to be difficult for the people involved. A virgin birth. It's got to be a virgin birth because it's God's son. It's God's son. God is the father. So it's got to be a virgin birth. It can't be a human father. So perhaps God could have done it three ways. He could have had the virgin birth through a single woman. A single virgin woman, unbetrothed. She has the child. But then the problem would be she'd be on her own. She'd be outcast, and she'd be treated like a fornicator, and she wouldn't have a man to protect her. Not a good situation. Or, well, it could have been through a married woman, but then she'd not be a virgin, so it wouldn't be a virgin birth, so that doesn't work either. So it has to actually be this way, through a virgin who's betrothed to a man, and the man's going to stay with her after the birth to protect her. Because if the man stays with her, he can look after her and support her through everything. But he's going to have to carry the shame of the perception in the community that actually there was either fornication or some kind of unfaithfulness involved in the situation. So it's always going to be difficult, a virgin birth. The second thing is that Joseph is not put in the difficult position by God, but because of human sin. You might think, well, actually, why did God put him in that position? Why didn't God have him told what was happening? But actually, it's human sin that puts him in the situation. Because, you see, if people always told the truth, and we could always believe one another, then Mary just needed to say, Joseph, last night an angel visited me and told me I'm going to have a baby, and I haven't been with any other man. This baby is conceived miraculously in my womb by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph would have been able to say, Mary, I believe you. Yeah, because you always tell the truth. But because we don't live in that kind of world, we live in a world that is rife with deceit, a world that's rife with lies. People cheat on their partners all the time. People who tell the truth and always believe what others say actually often get hurt because of that, and are vulnerable because of that. So does that mean we shouldn't tell the truth? It would be better not to tell the truth sometimes because people do get hurt. But no, we should always tell the truth. Because we're always saying, your kingdom come, Lord. And we want the truth to be in this world. We want lies to be gone from this world. So we should always tell the truth. And we should always try and believe as well what other people are telling us. Although we need to be wise as well. Joseph wanted to believe Mary. He had no reason up to that point to believe that she ever told lies. He thought she was faithful, he thought she was honest, but he just can't. Because he's surrounded by cynical people who are saying to him, you know, Joseph, why couldn't you wait? Or, Joseph, who's the father? Or these kind of things that people say. But it's actually human sin that puts Joseph in this difficult position. If we just were a people who believed the truth, because people always told the truth, it would have been enough for Mary simply to tell him what had happened. But it's not like that. Mary, however, knows the truth, and she knows that she's been treated unjustly in this situation. She was greatly troubled by Gabriel's appearance, it tells us. But she does seem to accept what Gabriel says about what's going to happen. But then she's alone, and there's no one really that understands her in Nazareth, not even Joseph. So she takes off to visit her cousin Elizabeth, because Gabriel has kindly told her that Elizabeth will understand, because Elizabeth also is miraculously expecting a child. And she can go and share with Elizabeth in the fellowship of what God is actually doing in their lives. And so she does. She goes to Elizabeth. And then when John is born, she returns home. She has to. Perhaps Nazareth has heard about John's birth when she gets home, but these are hard-bitten peasants in Nazareth. They're a cynical bunch, and they're not really all that ready to believe the explanation that Mary might try to give them of her pregnancy. So probably she just tries to keep quiet. There's no point in saying anything. But it's obvious she's expecting a child. So although she knows what's happening and she knows she's done right, in the village, that's not how it's painted. You know what it's like in Plockton. You know what it's like in Kyle. Speculation, gossip, tale-bearing. People come to conclusions and pass judgments all the time in small villages. And Joseph is tempted to take part in that. He's torn between what he believes about Mary and what he is hearing on the street. And in the end, he doesn't believe Mary. He just can't bring himself to believe what's happened. And so he's going to divorce her. Only Mary knows the truth. It's a painful time for her and for Joseph. Their love is tested and it looks like it's going to be severed. But at that point, God tells Joseph. Then and only then. Why? Why did God wait so long? Well, we're not told that, so we've got to try and understand. And it's probably, in a way, an example of a principle that we're going to see in Jesus' life many times as well. And that is no gain without pain. There's always pain associated with living by faith, because people who live by faith are misunderstood. Simeon would later say to Mary, a sword, as we saw this morning, a sword will pierce your own soul. Joseph himself feels that sword at this time. Pain, but there's a gain. There's a gain. There's a gain through having gone through the anguish of these months of uncertainty, worrying about what had happened and worrying about why Mary was expecting. What is the gain? Well, here's a few things. First of all, Joseph will be able to understand how other people feel about this birth, because Joseph had his suspicions, and so when other people have suspicions, he won't be so quick to get angry at them. He'll think, well, that's just how I felt for a while before I knew the truth. And he'll be able to see why other people are responding as they are, be able to understand their fallenness, their sinful reaction. And it's a good thing for us if we can do that in our lives too. If we learn to see people in their community behaving badly and to be able to say, well, I've done that. I've been like that. Or, there but for God's grace go I. Instead of us just condemning. So sometimes our pain and our failing isn't to enable us to understand why other people behave as they do. Here's another gain. Mary is tested. There's no doubt that in this test she pleads with God to show Joseph the truth about the child. She comes through the test herself more devoted to God, more convinced that he works things out in the end, because he does in this situation. Eventually God does tell Joseph, and eventually their relationship has a happy conclusion in marriage. We have to learn as well, just like Mary, that sometimes we pray for things and we have to wait a time, and often we can be in anguish waiting before God works out the answer. Have we learned that? Have we learned to trust God through uncertain and painful times, when relationships are strained, when we're in turmoil? Sometimes it takes hard times to really bring our faith up to a level where we can learn to really know that God will always come good if we trust in him. Another good thing is that, Joseph is tested, and the question is, what will he do towards Mary? How will he treat her? Will he treat her badly? Or will he treat her with sympathy and mercy and righteousness? Well, actually, that's what he does. And it's a good test. It's been a good test of Joseph's character. In verse 19, he is a righteous man. And he cares for Mary, even though he believes maybe she's actually been unfaithful to him. He still cares for her. And he shows himself to be a man of great character in that. And sometimes the things that we go through that are hard in our lives are a test of our character. Sometimes we fail that test. But sometimes, if we pass the test, it enables us to go on to carry greater responsibilities and to have greater ability to help others. On Wednesday night at the group Bible study, we heard of people who'd been through experiences of mental health issues and how they said that it enabled them to become more sympathetic, more able to help others. Sometimes God puts us through hard things just like Joseph was put through hard things here, to enable our character to grow and develop. So good things came out of it. Here's another good thing. What they've been through together will strengthen their love in the long run. They've shared a deep, common spiritual experience because they both had angelic visitations and they've been through this really difficult time and period, and they've come through it, treated each other well in it, and although their relationship's been deeply tested, now that they've come to the other side of the crisis, their bond together will be much, much stronger. And again, our deepest relationships, are they not those that have been tested and we've come through the test together to a stronger place? So that's another good thing that came out of this delay in God telling Joseph what was happening. Here's another thing too, that Mary and Joseph can help people everywhere, really. They can help us tonight, who've had to wait in anguish for the deliverance they've trusted God for. Do you tonight wait for some vindication? Wait for God to put things right? Wait for God to show that you're in the right? Or wait for God to work things out in your life? Do you long for deliverance? Well, here we can see an example of that, and we can see how God did work it out, and it can help us as well. Joseph ends up, I guess, sorry for his lack of faith. I'm sure that he had to apologize very deeply to Mary for not believing what she told him. We'll always be sorry when we didn't trust God, although we had good reason to do so. But nevertheless, this story tells us that if we do trust him, God will bring things right and good. So we are actually in Joseph's position tonight. We are being told the Christmas story. The Christmas story has miracles in it, just like a virgin birth is a miracle, and Joseph has been told to believe a miracle without any evidence for it at the time. No evidence that he could ever look point to say that, yeah, God did that. Joseph doesn't believe in miracles normally. He's probably not the sort of guy that thinks that a miracle is going to happen to him. The Christmas story has miracles in it, and we probably don't normally believe very readily in miracles. The question is then, will we believe this story? Just like Joseph, before the angel comes, we haven't had an angel confirm the story of Christmas to us. We haven't had an angel confirm that Mary really did have a virgin birth, and Jesus really was born in this unique and wonderful way. No angel has come and visited us and told us, you've got to believe this Christmas story. So, like Joseph, we have to decide whether we're going to take it as truth, whether we're going to take what other people experienced and what other people tell us they experienced as truth. Are we going to trust the integrity of those telling us this story? Now, of course, we know a great deal more about the story than just that Jesus was born through a virgin birth. We've got all of his life, his work, his teaching, his miracles, his death, his resurrection, and the whole of church history in which Jesus has been working to help us to believe. And we see God working in people's lives as well in miraculous ways, bringing them to faith in Christ and transforming their lives. And we've got plenty of help in believing. So we need to take this Christmas story seriously. We need to recognize that it's something for us to believe. It's not just a nice story for Christmas, but it is actually a story forever for us. As Simeon said, my eyes have seen your salvation. This is God's salvation story for us as it begins to unfold in the life of his son Jesus come into the world. And the more we believe it, the more we interact with it and trust it and build our lives upon it, the more glory we will have in our lives, the more joy in our relationship with God. The BBC a few years ago produced a drama on the story of the birth of Jesus called The Nativity. And the gentleman who wrote the drama was a guy called Tony Jordan. I don't know if he still is, but he was one of the EastEnders scriptwriters. And he began writing this nativity drama as a skeptic. He was going to make it a comedy, in fact, because he just didn't take it seriously. However, that's not how God had planned Tony Jordan's interaction with the story of Christmas. Daily Telegraph wrote about it at the time, said, "It seems that Mr. Jordan has appropriately experienced an epiphany. Having started the project as a skeptic, he has now come to believe that the Nativity is a true and wonderful story. As he says in an interview with this newspaper today, if you accept that Jesus is Son of God, why would you not believe that Mary was a virgin and that God must have had some hand in the impregnation? Such an absence of cynicism would be refreshing in a modern bishop," says the newspaper. "It is a delightful surprise coming from a BBC scriptwriter. His four-part drama, The Nativity, to be shown at peak time slots in the run-up to Christmas Day," that was a number of years ago, "is influenced by a belief that the words of Jesus Christ are the most truthful thing I have ever read." Yeah. Praise God for that. That's a wonderful outcome of studying this story. You look at it, and you look at it like Joseph, seeing other people say God has done things in our lives, and yet you are not someone yourself who has experienced that for yourself, and you have to decide, am I going to believe this or am I not? And if you are going to believe it, like Joseph, you may have to bear the shame of Jesus, because it was a shame that they carried forever afterwards, Mary and Joseph, that the community didn't believe, or many of them anyway. And even when Jesus was grown up, they were still accusing him of being illegitimate. But Joseph believed, and Joseph was prepared to act in love and to stand by Mary, whatever the shame. What about us? Do we believe, and are we prepared to stand by Jesus tonight and tomorrow, whatever the shame? It says that Joseph, in verse 24, took Mary home as his wife. Tonight, we can take Jesus home as our Saviour.